Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In the Now podcast channel. As always, we are joined today by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. So, Shane, thank you for dropping by the podcast on this Friday morning. Welcome back and looking forward to our conversation today.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be back with you.
So, Shane, over the past 4 days or so, we have been tracking the RNC, the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was a very eventful week. We did hear from a number of high-profile speakers, and the event was capped off last night by a speech by former President Trump. So just reflecting on the week, what were your overall takeaways and thoughts as to how the convention played out?
Yeah, it was a big week for Republicans, and I think, Republicans sought to take the moment and try and present unity from within. Obviously over the past few weeks and months overall, you've seen, Republicans have some infighting, but I think most of that has been quelled and led up to the nomination of former President Trump. But of course, recent events have kind of maybe focused the RNC to be a little bit more different than we anticipated. Former President Trump in his speech talked about unity. Originally, it was going to be a more, combative speech from him. Now, that doesn't mean it wasn't combative because, former President Trump, is himself. And while he did strike a tone of unity, he did, of course, play a little bit of hardball against President Biden. But, you saw some previous rivals speak at the convention, like Nikki Haley. And so I think that was kind of a signal to many to try and bring the party together. And, we'll see if that is reflected in the polls and, former President Trump gets a bump out of the convention. But I think Republicans overall feel very good about where they are at this moment. And I think that was reflected at, it was a celebration at the convention. But you saw some caution where a lot of, people there were not trying to get too far ahead of themselves, and proverbially spike the football on the 1 yard line. So I think you saw a lot of people at the convention recognize that there's still a couple of months till election and they got a lot of work to do before the former president was to be elected.
So just to single out Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio, he spoke on Wednesday after a lot of anticipation. He was ultimately selected to be the vice presidential candidate by former President Trump. So what exactly does Senator Vance bring to the table from your vantage point, Shane? How will he help the Trump campaign?
Yeah, well, Senator Vance is newer on the political scene, if you will. He was just elected to the Senate. So, he doesn't have this long history that other senators might bring to the table. So his voting record is a little bit sparse. His legislative accomplishments are a little bit sparse. But he brings key aspects to the Trump campaign. Some youth and enthusiasm. Looking at his background, he served in the military. He went to Yale Law School, so he is a smart man. He's also worked in the tech, sector and is a big fan of crypto. So I think that is sparking some energy from certain, voter bases that are focused on those issues. I'd also note that, he is kind of viewed as a populist. Some of the positions he has taken over his short period in the Senate, really caught some people off guard because they weren't traditional Republican positions. After the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, he worked with Democrat Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio on, a regulatory bill to try and prevent another train derailment that, a lot of Republicans don't agree with that, and they think it's a little bit of an overreaction, overreach. So, he has this streak in him of, populism, we'll say, which I think, appeals to many voters. I would also note, you know, his home state of Ohio is almost certainly going to vote for former President Trump. So it really wasn't about Ohio, but I think the neighboring states of Pennsylvania and Michigan may receive this nomination well, as, you know, a Rust Belt senator who kind of speaks the same language and understands a lot of those voters in Michigan and Pennsylvania, which to me are both must-win states for Democrats. You know, if Trump and Vance win Pennsylvania and Michigan, or one of them, I think it's over for Democrats, and President Trump has won. So I think this is a very interesting pick that has some strategy behind it.
So just from hearing former President Trump's speech last night, there was somewhat of a somber tone to it, reflecting on the assassination attempt of former President Trump last weekend in Pennsylvania, which tragically resulted in a few casualties. So just curious as to, now that a few days have passed, what has the investigation into that incident consisted of? What can we expect to see perhaps in the days to come?
Yeah, no, I think the start of the investigations, because there are multiple investigations that are going to happen here, are just kind of sifting through basic facts and getting the basic facts right. You know, in the initial hours and days, we saw a lot of misinformation flying around, and still I think some misinformation is being passed around. You know, I use this as an example, is that, you know, I live down the street from a former Secret Service agent, and I talked to him hours after the failed attempt on former President Trump's life. And, you know, most of what he said to me proved to be inaccurate, you know, less than 24 hours later. So it just shows you that even someone who was in the Secret Service, you know, and has links to the organization was getting false information. So, you know, these investigations are going to be important, and I think quite hard. I expect that the director of the Secret Service, that she will have to be, she will step down at some point if she's not fired. And I think there'll be a lot of important lessons learned that we see, you know, and, you know, it's a terrible situation, but I think the good news is, you know, former President Trump didn't lose his life, but unfortunately, you're correct. One person in attendance has been killed by the assassin's bullets, and I think two others are injured. So, you know, it did come at a cost.
Well, some interesting perspective, and we'll continue to track this and see what comes from these investigations and the days and perhaps weeks to follow. So one more topic before we close out. This kind of took a back seat this week as the convention was ongoing, but we did see that Democrat Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey was convicted on corruption charges. So curious as to what comes next for the senator. So outside of that, does this pose any implications to the makeup of the U.S. Senate?
Yeah, Senator Menendez remains defiant and says he's going to appeal and fight this. I think the senators are starting to, you know, push back and encourage him to resign by publicly saying that he should resign. And, you know, I think the convention this week, and everything that's going on with President Biden and former President Trump, has taken the attention away, as you say. And, you know, I think when senators are back in Washington next week, you know, everyone's going to get asked about this. Should Senator Menendez retire or not, resign or not? And, you know, that will kind of maybe force the issue. If he does not resign, there are Democrat senators already talking about his expulsion from the Senate. I think over the course of our nation's history, 21 people have been expelled from the House and Senate. So it's not something that happens that often, but it does happen. And if he does resign or is expelled, you know, it would lower the number of Democrats in the Senate to 50. However, the sitting governor of New Jersey is a Democrat who would probably appoint someone almost immediately to fill that vacancy. And, you know, I think the only question to me is would the governor appoint a placeholder who would just keep the seat warm and vote on, you know, the few items that come up between now and the election? Or would he appoint Congressman Andy Kim of New Jersey, who is running for that seat already and trying to give Congressman Kim a leg up. I kind of think that the governor would do a placeholder, not to, you know, tip the scales too much, but this overall should not impact the ratios of the Senate being currently Democrat held. What could turn the scales is the election this fall and determine who controls the Senate. But I think, you know, it's a question of how much longer Senator Menendez serves. Is it, you know, does he resign in the coming days, or is he expelled, or does the election in November end his tenure in the Senate?
Well, Shane, thank you for the insights, and we'll track the appeal process and see how this plays out. Though, thank you again, Shane, for dropping by on this Friday morning to recap the RNC for us. It was an eventful week, so do wish you a restful weekend, and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Thank you, Dan. Looking forward to it, and hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. Before we close out, just a quick reminder that for our clients of UBS listening in, you can now locate the latest edition of the Washington Weekly publication on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.